Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. It's Monday, January 8th, 2018. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati and Jake Gutierrez. Chiefs lose in the wild card round of the playoffs to the Tennessee Titans, 22-21. So there's so many different things to be mad about and so many different things to talk about. It's hard to focus on just one. The terrible play calling in the second half, the terrible execution by the offense in the second half, the defense just laying down for Derrick Henry in the second half, bad tackling. Frank Zombo, another guy that's probably, should be on his way out in Kansas City. The game-sealing run by Derrick Henry featured Marcus Mariota laying a block on Frank Zombo, and that's about how his stint in Kansas City should end right there. Nothing more needs to be said about that. Bob Sutton did not get the job done again. And this is the NFL. Jerry Glanville said, not for long, right? Not for long if you don't get the job done. Not for long. And Bob Sutton should be the defensive coordinator not for much longer in Kansas City. It's time to part ways. He's been a fine coach for a long time in the NFL. He's made a whole lot of money. He's had some successes. It's time for a fresh voice for the defense, period. And I think most anyone that has watched this football team agrees. And maybe it's happening a year too late, because we're sitting here talking about the same exact thing that we did after the Pittsburgh game. How embarrassing is it for your defense to be unable to stop a running back when everyone knows that running back is getting the football to ice the game? Same thing. The offense waiting for their chance to get the ball back to try to kick a field goal to win it. Everyone knew that Derrick Henry was going to get the ball in that play. Frank Zombo got sucked inside. Derrick Henry made a beautiful move outside. Marcus Mariota erased Frank Zombo from the play, and the game was over. Last year was Ben Roethlisberger completing a pass. It's in Le'Veon Bell running wild in the second half. It's the same story. So Bob Sutton, thank you. Got to move on. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Jeff Triplett should never be allowed to officiate again. Thankfully for everyone involved in the NFL, he's going to retire now, according to several reports. Unfortunately for all of us, he's retiring one game too late. He should have never been allowed to officiate that game. He hasn't officiated the playoff game since 2013 for good reason. He was given that as a congratulatory bon voyage for his career because they knew he was going to retire. And so, hey, thanks for that, NFL. Appreciate that. Hope Jeff Triplett can hold those fond memories for the rest of his life because he screwed Kansas City on the way out the door. Did the Chiefs lose because of him? No, but he didn't do his job. So we're going to sit here and call out defensive coordinators and people for dropping passes and linebackers for getting erased from a play by a quarterback. Then we also need to address that Jeff Triplett did not do his job. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
That's not.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
Blaming the officials. It's stating a fact. He did not do his job. He did not perform to the level that he is expected to in a postseason game. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
I was going to say, he did his job just really poor.
Well, he's not fit to do his job. That's the thing. They put a guy out there in a league where billions of dollars are at stake and people's careers and lives, like you said, jobs are on the line, you know, people's livelihoods. That was made very apparent to me as I was stuck sitting next to several of the Tennessee Titans coaches' wives during the game. which was a horrible experience. But they're all freaked out because they think their whole coaching staff's about to get fired after the game's over. And it just makes it obvious, like, these are lives, these are people's jobs and everything. So you're going to throw out a guy who's too old and slow to be able to keep up with the pace of the fastest men on the planet playing a game at an incredibly high speed, so that he can have a goodbye party. That made it worse. When you found out he was, I mean, I was saying it during the game, like, I can't believe they're letting a guy like this ref this game. And then you find out that it's like a little, you know, goodbye gift. It's outrageous. Outrageous.
And again, we can have different arguments about flow of the game and drop passes and three and outs and time of possession. But, and I'm not interested in arguing any points. I'm gonna tell you what I think. Nate's going to tell you what he thinks. Jay's going to tell you what he thinks. And that's it. If you feel like after a playoff football game where you led most of it and you end up losing by a point, if you feel like the NFL's leading rusher, Kareem Hunt, getting 11 carries, if you feel good about that, if you feel like there's no problem with that, then I'll never see eye to eye about football with you. We don't see eye to eye. If you're satisfied with that, if you feel like, you know what, yeah, the NFL's leading rusher and the one big difference in the offense from last year, he had 11 carries in that playoff. I'm good enough. I'm good to go with that. Then you're ignoring, and I get it, next-gen stats and all 22s and time of possession and all these great factors we're going to sit here and cuss and discuss for weeks and weeks. That's going to be great. I can't wait just to keep talking about this effing football game. But in wins this year, Kareem Hunt averaged 26 touches. In the Chiefs' losses, he averaged 16. He had 11 carries. If you don't think that's a problem, then okay, then we just got to part ways because I'm not going to convince you and you're not going to convince me. Because if it's me, I want my guy to have more than 11 carries in a playoff game because the correlation's there. It's fact. When he touches the ball more, the Chiefs win. When he doesn't, the Chiefs lose. And he needed to touch the ball more. Period. Alex Smith. Well, how long do we wait to get into this? Alex Smith played great football in the first half. He wasn't good enough in the second half. Nobody was offensively, but he wasn't either. Okay? The unending argument that I'm done with it. I don't want to talk about it. Hopefully I never have to talk about it anymore. Because hopefully Patrick Mahomes II will be the starting quarterback next year. I hope that with everything in my heart. Because it's better for the football team. Doesn't mean that he's going to walk in and be better than Alex Smith is right now. I don't expect him to. And he probably shouldn't be considering he has one start and Alex Smith has been in the league for 13 years. So that's a straw man argument for anyone defending Alex Smith saying, oh, you think that Patrick Mahomes is going to come in here and be better than Alex Smith right now? No one's saying that. No one's arguing with you about that. He's not going to be better game one. But he has a higher ceiling. And you hope that the process begins. You hope that the road begins leading the Chiefs to finally have a franchise quarterback who, if everything's breaking down around him, he'll put the team on his back, and lead them to a victory. Who will not fail when the game is on the line and have a chance to win the game. Who will not fail in the final 3 minutes of the game repeatedly. And after every time it happens, whoa! The receivers dropped the ball and the play calling and then the wind. Did you see the wind? It was blowing this way and that way and this and that and everything else. Every game, it's a different excuse. How many times this year did the Chiefs have the ball? Screw it. How many times have we seen the Patriots or the Steelers who look like garbage for 3.5 quarters or whatever else, but you get their quarterback with the ball in their hands at the end of the game, and then they win? Hell, that's what we saw from a quarterback at Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday. But his name was Marcus Mariota. He put his team on his back. With his arm and with his legs, he made plays, and with his hands, made plays the entire second half. Was dropping dimes and running up and down the field. He made the plays that didn't matter what happened in the first half, did it? Did it? No, didn't matter. What matters is what happened in the fourth quarter with the game on the line. And he outplayed Smith with the game on the line, period. End of story. So now, again, I'm not saying it. Maybe some people, I'm not saying it. Patrick Mahomes right now is not better than Alex Smith. But look at how the football team is constructed. Use common sense. The way things are now is not working. It's not working. It's not working with Bob Sutton as defensive coordinator. And it's not working paying Alex Smith almost $20 million when you have so many holes around the rest of the team. When you have deficiencies in your run defense. When you need another receiver. When you need another guard on the offensive line. When you need another corner. You have all these needs. So when you have all these needs, you do not have the luxury of paying a quarterback $17 million when you have another quarterback behind him that you just spent two first-round picks on. You do not have that luxury. And so it's not just Mahomes replacing Smith. It's Mahomes and whoever they spend that $17 million on and whoever they draft with the draft picks they'll get back in trading Smith. If you can't figure out that's what's best for this football team moving forward, I can't help you. Because this season was a big waste of time, save for three things. And it's up to you for you to decide if it was worth it. Here's what they got. Number one, Alex Smith increased his trade value this year. That happened. Would you give more for him now than you would have this time last year?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, he increased the trade value. That's real. Number two, Patrick Mahomes II sat for a year, learned behind a true professional in Alex Smith, got acclimated to the NFL game, got his first start, got him some confidence, won a game on the road. He was playing with backups. They were playing with backups, but still got his feet wet, got used to the room, got used to life in the NFL, and has a year that he's been able to get acclimated. Was that worth it? I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see. You can make an argument that it's better for a quarterback to play right away, take his bumps and bruises, takes his lumps, and he'll get better. I'll hear the argument that this, in the long run, it was better for him to sit for a year. I don't know. But it happened.
Yeah.
So that's real. That happened. And number three, they won a division title. So they have back-to-back division titles for the first time in franchise history. That happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it? So those three things happened. Right?
Yes.
Outside of that, nothing happened. Nothing was gained. Nothing else. That's it. I mean, Kareem Hunt, they drafted him. He's developed into a terrific running back. But I'm sorry, I don't feel like talking about that right now because he got 11 carries on Saturday. So it apparently wasn't that big of a deal to the Chiefs since he got 11 carries, you know. But I'm talking about what was gained by keeping Alex Smith this year after they decided to make the bold move and acquire Patrick Mahomes. What was gained by it? Smith increased his trade value. Mahomes learned for a year behind Alex Smith, which I do think could be of value. And the Chiefs won a division title because if Mahomes starts this year, I don't think they win the division title, and I don't think they make the playoffs. So those three things happened. Was it worth it?
In my opinion, yes. I think it was the perfect situation for Mahomes. And I think he's not probably going to be as good as Smith next year, like you said, but I think he's going to be ready to compete. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I think he's going to be ready with the way this team's constructed. And I know it's hard to see this in the wake of another freaking disaster by the Chiefs, but I see a team that has the league's leading rusher coming back, that has an emerging superstar at wide receiver in Tyreek Hill coming back.
Now, every time you say that, though, I'm going to say you got to use them, though.
Right, that's true.
You got to use them.
Fair enough.
Doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
You got to use them in the playoffs.
Yes.
Or that fact doesn't matter.
That's true. But and then I see Eric Berry coming back to this defense, and like you said, if they go out and trade Alex Smith, a team that's reacquired some draft resources and some money to spend on plugging up a couple of holes, I think he's walking into a good situation. And I do personally think that a year of learning life in the NFL, and particularly learning how to handle things as a pro, behind Alex Smith, I think it's going to be extremely valuable for him, that he is going to be more prepared to walk in next year and start and compete than he would have been had he walked in as a rookie this year and done it. So I think it was worth it. Well, time will tell, but I think it was worth it. And I'm actually quite optimistic, assuming they can trade Smith and get something good in return and spend that money wisely. I'm quite optimistic about them being able to compete next year, even with Patrick Mahomes making it his first year as a starter.
And the argument, it's not a valid argument. There's no debate between what's better for this team next year, Alex Smith or Patrick Mahomes. You can't, that's a false argument. There's nothing, that's not real. What you have to say, the way you present it is the team better off with Alex Smith or with Mahomes and the players they spend that $17 million in cap space on and the players they draft with the draft picks that they get for Smith?
Right. It's all those put together.
It's Mahomes and three or four players, perhaps even starters, three or four impact players. Because if we think I have no idea. Let's just say a second round pick. A second round pick should. Then again, Tano Passanio was a second round pick. Whatever. A second round pick should be able to step in and help. And then if you're going to spend that money, that cap space, you should be able to get. I don't think it's going to be too hard to get a corner that could start opposite Peters. It could be an upgrade. Another pass rusher. And another wide receiver. That's a lot of cap space, right? So it's Mahomes and what you can do with your assets. And so that, all of it happened. And perhaps that made it worth it to ride with Alex Smith one last time. And it was a fine regular season. He's not the biggest reason they lost. He's not really in the top five of why they lost. He's not what... It's down the list of why they lost on Saturday. But to eliminate any blame from him when the offense scored zero in the second half, and again, most playoff teams will tell you, give us the football with a chance to win in the final few minutes. We'll take it. It's the playoffs. We'll take it. Many times, that's what separates the winners and the losers. Trust me. We've seen it repeatedly over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It comes down to that very fine difference. What team can make the big play and put the ball in the end zone in the fourth quarter at the end of the game? And the Chiefs, many times, look at their losses. How many losses did they have the ball with a chance to win the game? How many? The Giants, the Jets, this playoff game, the Raiders, they could have put away the Raiders, the Bills, right? They were down six with the ball in their hands and Smith threw an interception repeatedly. They repeatedly failed in that situation. So blame the coach, blame the quarterback, blame the offense. But if you keep doing it, it's not working. What the hell are we talking about here? What are we talking about here? All right? So it's not like they went out there and had no shot at the end of the game to overcome all the bad play calling and the bad calls and the drop passes. You had the ball at home, down a point, not need a touchdown. You didn't need a touchdown. You needed a field goal, and you didn't get it done. So offense, you failed. Would they have done it if Travis Kelce was out there? Maybe, but he wasn't. Got to overcome it. Didn't overcome it. There's always an excuse. There's always a reason. There's always someone to blame. Andy Reid deserves most of the blame. This is his team. He's been stubborn about Bob Sutton. He's been stubborn about, and who knows who called plays? Hell, for all I know, they were Skyping with Doug Peterson, and he called plays again in the playoff game. I don't know. Andy Reid looked like he was calling plays to me. Matt Nagy, after the game, Andy Reid was asked about it. Well, here's what I'll tell you, man. I call the bad plays, he called the good plays. Ha, chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. Okay? Kind of funny. Not really after the game on Saturday night. Some people thought it was funny. I didn't. I'm like, oh. Okay. Then yesterday, step two. He met with the media at noon. Let's hear what Andy Reid had to say when he was asked about play calling and Nagy and who was calling plays on Saturday.
I don't know about that part. I thought he did a nice job, but I don't know about that, the other part of that.
Yeah. Just as a follow-up to that, just from watching, who was calling the plays offense? Was it Matt or was it you? Was it a combination?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned yesterday that he called the good ones and I called the bad ones. And so we'll leave it at that. I don't think that matters either way, but that's really where I'm at.
Sorry, not funny for the second day in a row. Answer the question. It's not government secrets. It's football. You know what? Sometimes we take this stuff too. Just say it. You know what? I call the plays. No, you know what? He called the plays. Oh, well, yeah. I called the good ones. He called the bad ones.
That's Andy Reid, man. I mean, his M.O. So after every loss is to say, it's all on me.
He's trying to protect his guy because Nagy's getting ready to have a couple of head coaching interviews.
And according to CBSSports.com, executives around the league are saying there's no way you could hire him after that play calling debacle in the second half.
Because here's the deal.
So
if you say Nagy was calling the plays, then that's going to look bad in this interview because what in the hell were you doing in the second half there, buddy? That was terrible. But then if you say, no, Andy goes, no, I was calling the plays. Oh, so you didn't trust him to call plays in the second half of a playoff game? Why should we? But bottom line is this, if you like him in the interview, whatever the hell happened with Doug Peterson, and we still don't know, is happening with Matt Nagy. And if you like him, hire him. If you don't, don't. But this is just as bad because clearly he's just trying to protect Nagy. Well, I called the good ones. He called the bad. Let's call the whole thing off. I mean, I feel like there's going to start a song. Whatever. Great. Great. Guess what? Whoever called the plays in the second half sucked. So whoever wants to attach a name to that, whoever called the plays did a awful job. Terrible. Bad. Boo! To whoever called the plays in the second half. Since we're not going to be given that information, we just have to guess. So I'll say both of them. Anyone that had anything to do with play calling. Terrible. Jake, what?
That sounded kind of like a wet fart.
Well, good. It should be.
I think the most interesting thing to me is I sat here yesterday and listened to Andy Reid's press conferences. Going back to this topic, who was calling plays? Andy Reid kind of threw Alex Smith under the bus, in my opinion, a little bit on that situation. We first heard Tim Grunhard talking weeks back, I think, when they first made the change from the play calling. We heard RPO and RPO this and RPO that, and that's the run-pass option. Well, Andy Reid was asked yesterday why they went away from running the ball in the second half, and here's his response.
Yeah, so we have those RPOs in there, and some of what they were doing dictated a little bit more of the throws and the runs. And then, we started off like gangbusters the second half, a nice little run there, and then it tailed off there a little bit. So could we have called them more? Yeah, I mean, you look back at it, maybe you could have handed to them more. So the three and outs were hurting us a little bit.
And look, Mark Boerger, he put it great. You hear when teams win games, coaches say, we played complimentary football. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Complimentary football. The team played complimentary football in the second half to lose.
Yeah.
They all had to come together.
All three units.
They all had to come together. And this is how, they had to suck together. All of them. All together. The offense had to put up a goose egg in the second half. Check. Give me a ding there. Did that happen? Ring the bell. Did the offense go out there and just lay an egg? Yeah. Zero.
Couldn't stay on the field either, just to give the defense a break.
Harrison Butker missed a field goal. Boom. Special teams, thank you. Defense, did you have the football run down your collective throats in the second half? Ah! And did you make Marcus Mariota look like the second coming of Steve Young? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, coaches, how was your play calling in the second half? How did the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator do? Pretty good? No, you sucked. Terrible. How was clock management? Nah, just throw out there. That sucked too. Everything was bad. Everything was just terrible. Oh, and by the way, finally, hey, outside linebacker, on the play to seal the game, did you get lit up by the quarterback and erased from the play? Bada bing! It all happened all together. Right? It all had to come together. And they still only lost by one. Hey, offense, from the quarterback to the line to the receivers, will you refuse to make the big play necessary on the final drive to win the game? Okay, all of you, great. Team effort, complimentary football. Because it took an entire roster and a full coaching staff to piss away a 21-3 lead at halftime. They all had to do it. Everyone had a hand in it. You did it. It didn't seem likely, but you found a way to get it done. You found a way to, and you know what? I just got to say it. There's no good way to say it because I want to include everyone, men, women, all. We all got kicked in the junk again by the Chiefs. They found a way to do it.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say it. Impressive. That's an impressive way to lose because everyone chipped in. Everyone can take a piece of this and say, you know what? I was part of that. I helped that team collapse. That's right.
I think that's what makes this one particularly Chiefs-y out of all the Chiefs playoff losses. I know you were arguing with people on Twitter about this one doesn't hurt nearly as much as, say, the Colts loss in 95, and I agree with that because that team had a championship-caliber defense. This team was not championship-caliber. But in terms of just the way they lost, like it seemed like every one of these playoff losses up to this point, there's been a scapegoat or two. This is one where it's like we can blame the defense, the offense, the special teams, the referee, bad luck, all of those things. Like, they all played a huge part, like, in like, eye-popping ways. Oh, quarterback throws his first career playoff touchdown pass to himself. You know, referee, old man referee, about to retire, should have retired, misses two fumble calls that would have changed the game. The one guy, to me, like, and this is amazing, we've been talking about this guy all year as if he's been the biggest cancer to the team. The one guy that, to me, did almost everything he could to win the game was Marcus Peters. The one guy. And he was about a half a second away from creating an amazing fumble that we thought would have won the game. He knew Henry was down, but he was the one guy even then was making a play.
And I'll say this, since Joe Phillips left the Colts playoff game in his full uniform, got in his car and drove off, thank you to Tim Grunhard for that studio, there has not been a player that is faster to his car and out of Arrowhead Stadium than Marcus Peters. It is impressive.
It's true.
I mean, when you're still talking about what happened and you're getting up from your seat, Marcus Peters is on I-70. I mean, and you know what? Good for him. I want to get the hell out of there, too. I wanted to get the hell out of there, but I sat in the parking lot for 2 hours just repeating everything that I'd just seen until I feel like Phil St. John wanted to jump out of the car and just lay down on the parking lot ground with all of the grills and trash, people setting fire to things. That was more attractive to him than sitting in the car with me ranting and raving. Thank goodness we didn't record that. I love you, Phil. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.